My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. I thank God for that word right from the scriptures. And as we are now into a new year, what a great encouragement for us. Whatever lies ahead for us this year, the challenges that may be ahead of us, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Now, it doesn't say that he will supply all of our wants, all of our wishes, but he promises to supply all of our needs. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the worship from our hearts that we have been able to offer to you. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased with our worship. May it be a sweet-smelling savior to thy nostrils. Get the glory, the honor, and the praise, not just from the fruit of our lips, but also from our lives. May our lives be a dedication of worship to you, not just on Sunday, but each and every day. We thank you now as we look to you, as we come to this portion of the service where we earnestly desire to hear a word from you. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Speak vision, speak clarity, speak your grace, your wisdom, and your love. Use me, Lord, as oracles of God, that I may make known the mystery of your gospel. Give me the power to speak now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, our thanks to Bev and the worship team for leading us in such a wonderful, beautiful time of worship. And as Bev was saying that we may need some oxygen, I was thinking, how am I going to get to preach all these songs? Well, thank you for all those wonderful, beautiful songs. And I pray that my voice will hold up now to preach God's word. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're commencing this new series from the life and the ministry of Elijah. And we're going to be taking a look now at chapter 17, the God who provides. Be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads like this: And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she did, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid upon him his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now, final verse. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. Thank you for your patience in hearing this quite lengthy chapter, this action-packed chapter. The God who provides. The God who provides. Church, at the scene of our text this morning, the sights and the aroma that permeates from the events that took place around 910 BC, I believe is not only helpful from the vantage point of a history lesson, if you will, but I truly believe that the sentiments of 1 Kings chapter 17 and also next week's sermon from chapter 18 is a sobering reminder that is absolutely relevant for our context, especially as we have just turned the page into a new year. And friends, I know for many of us here today and for individuals around the nation, so many could not wait to say goodbye to 2021. I mean, over the past 2 years, our world has faced and continues to grapple with the ongoing threat of COVID-19. With lockdowns and restrictions and quarantine, these words have become a regular use in our daily vocabulary. However, church, I would like to suggest this morning that despite COVID being an ongoing theme and a talking point around the world, and the effects of new strains that continue to wreak havoc across this nation and world, The stark reality, friends, in the cold light of day, hallelujah, is the recognition that COVID-19 is far, very far from the only battle that our world is facing right now. Yes, news stations and radio stations may continue to talk on a regular basis about COVID-19. And yes, politicians may be asked questions by the media on a daily basis about this new Omicron variant. But the reality is, friends, that in the world today, and even as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to remind you, each and every one of you today, that this morning we face a battle, not just against COVID-19, but there is an ongoing spiritual battle that is taking place, which is a battle against good and evil. It's a fight, church, against light and darkness. It is a battle against sin versus righteousness. It's a battle, church, against hate and love. And every single day, there is a battle taking place against the will of the enemy versus the perfect will of God. And such was the climate here in 1 Kings chapter 17, because the divided kingdom of Israel had not only become divided in terms of political and monarchical structure. However, the once united nation of Israel, whom the psalmist declared was the city of Mount Zion, the city of David, this once unified nation was now stricken with disobedient and ungodly leadership. I mean, in the land there were priests who were now absent without leave. And for the next 300 years, the spiritual decline in Israel had plummeted to an all-time low. However, church, this is what I love about our great God, which I believe gave not only Israel hope in 910 BC, but also gives us hope even today in 2022. That despite the fact that ungodly leadership through Ahab and Jezebel had taken the reins in Israel, and despite the fact that idol worship to Baal was now the order of the day, and despite the fact that prophets of Baal were now ordained not to ministry to Jehovah, but ministry to this false idol god, Baal. And the one true God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was now put to the back burner. And now the nation were worshipping this false idol god. But right in this climate, church, right in the midst of such despair, God was not about to give up on his people. And I believe that is great news for us, church, because we may look out in our society and nation and world today and see certain similarities to 910 BC of a climate of wickedness in high places and sin and disobedience and chaos all around us. But I believe there is still hope, even in the land of the living today. Even in such climates, God is still in the providing business. And God is able to speak and to provide even amongst chaos and disobedience. Because yes, sin may try to dominate the world, but the reality for sin, church, and the glorious hope of the gospel is simply put that grace is stronger. Hallelujah. Yes, evil may try to dominate our society, but the good news of the word of God for our nation and for our world is that the love of God overcomes evil. Yes, fear may try to dominate our children and young people with social media bullying and trying to present a life through the vantage point of filters to look like everything is perfect. But deep inside, there is a void, there is a pain that social media cannot fill. But the good news, friends, is that the perfect love of God, the Bible says, it casts out all fear. So be encouraged today, church, that whatever this year may hold for us, whatever the challenges that may lay ahead on the horizon, whatever the test may be, whatever the state of our society, be encouraged that God is still on the throne. That the God that watches over Israel and you and me neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah. And church, right within the midst of this hostile environment, one of the most challenging of times for Israel's history, one of disobedience against God, wickedness in high places, it was right in the midst of this climate that God raised up a prophet from Gilead, and his name is Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite was sent by God to the leadership in Israel, to Ahab and to those who served with him, to let them know that the one who superintends the world is not this created figment of imagination called Baal, but the one who is in control of all things is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through the ministry of Elijah, it was a wonderful reminder that God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And friends, whatever you may be looking for this year, whatever is on your prayer requests this year, whatever you may have spent time on your vision boards, maybe at the start of this year, planning for the year ahead, be encouraged today that Jehovah Jireh, our provider, as we have just sung, his grace is sufficient for you. And 1 Kings chapter 17 is a powerful reminder that even in chaos, God is still able to provide for his people. And we're going to take a brief look now at 3 points of different types of provision that God is able to supply for his people. Now, before next week, we're going to take a look at chapter 18, which of course is the great battle on Mount Carmel between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. That's next week. Stay tuned for that one. But before we get to the battle, there needed to be some preparation for Elijah. And God was about to speak to Elijah now to let him know that I am your provider. Even though you face uncertainty ahead, even though you don't know what's on the horizon, I am your provider. And the first thing we see here in the text from verses 1 to 3 is the provision of prophecy. The provision of prophecy, word, and direction. Now, I love this, friends, because in the midst of an ungodly leadership regime and false worship to Baal, God was still speaking. Now, I love this. We've got to get this picture. Because the leaders had turned their ears away from God. They had tuned out. God was on FM and they had turned over to AM. A completely different station, wavelength. They were no longer looking to hear from Jehovah Jireh, but now they were looking to hear from Baal. They weren't looking for inspiration from God, the true God of Israel, but now they were looking for direction and leadership from a false idol God. And sometimes, as I was preparing, sometimes we can stress and worry over what we may feel are leaders in position that have their ears not tuned to the will of God. And we can look around us in our society and say, oh, we pray, Lord, that the leaders, those in authority, would be hearing from you. And that, yes, is a great prayer to pray. But I want to encourage you, church, that God does not even need leaders who are listening to his voice in order for him to speak to his people. Elijah, this is what I want you to do. Although the leaders aren't listening to me, I'm still about to speak. I'm going to speak prophecy in your life. I'm going to give you a word from heaven. And I'm also going to send you direction. And I'm so looking forward to that this year, church. I believe, regardless of what is around us in our society today, God is still going to speak to his people. He's going to give us clear direction. He's going to prophesy some things into our lives, into our hearts, things concerning the future, and God is going to make it known clearly in our hearts and minds. And through divine provision, Elijah received a clear vision of the future, followed by direction for the journey ahead. And the prophecy that God spoke to Elijah that was then delivered to King Ahab was simply that rain would cease in the land until the word of the Lord is declared. And then Elijah received some directions. Elijah was to journey eastward and to hide by the brook called Cherith, which was just before the Jordan. And Elijah, although you will temporarily reside in a deserted place, in isolation, in quarantine, if you will, please understand, Elijah, that I will ensure that your daily provisions will be met. Because I have instructed the ravens that they will supply you with meals for the day. And you'll also be able to drink from the brook. And what a wonderful reminder for us today. That even in challenging seasons of our lives, God is still able to speak vision and direction in our lives. But the challenge, church, is simply, are we listening to his voice? Are we trusting in his perfect will? Or are we going to go about this year trying to navigate our own pathway forward in our own strength? You see, God does not need favorable circumstances in order for him to speak to us. All he needs is a listening ear. And my prayer for myself and for all of us as a church and as a congregation is, above all else, whatever our 2022 goals may be, whatever practical jobs need doing around our houses, whatever holidays you may have planned for the summer, above all else, I pray that we would be keen to listen to the voice of the Lord. May he speak vision into our hearts and direction for the journey ahead. So number one, it was the provision of prophecy, word, and direction. But secondly, we also see the provision of sustenance and daily needs. Verses 4 through to 16. Now, Elijah, I'm sending you into quarantine and isolation by the brook called Cherith. And yes, you have a spiritual battle to prepare for chapter 18. But Jehovah Jireh is more than just a provider of your spiritual needs, but he's also concerned about your practical, mundane, everyday needs. He's also concerned about your physical needs. And verse 5 lets us know that he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And I love and admire Elijah's response, because if this was me, my response would most likely be, okay, God, I'll do what you say, but wouldn't it make more sense to send me into isolation, maybe in a nice hotel, where I can just simply order room service? Don't you think that would make more sense? Okay, God, if not a nice hotel, then maybe put me somewhere near a 24-hour supermarket, where I can just pop in and have access to food and drink whenever I desire. And the reality, friends, is that God, his methods are not always our kind or type of methods. And if we're not careful, church, we can get stuck looking for the perceived method of our choice, the ones that we so desire, that we miss the God-inspired method that he has prepared for us. And church, I believe this year has to be the year where, even if it don't make sense on paper, if it's the perfect will of God, then are we willing to trust in his methods? Will we trust in his method of provision? Morning and evening, in a deserted place, Elijah was fed. Elijah didn't have everything he may have wanted, but he had everything he needed. Elijah may not have had access to his iPad and Wi-Fi to stream Netflix videos while he was waiting for the battle, but Elijah had everything that he needed. And God used an unusual method, a raven, and then later a widowed woman who was evidently so poor that she was preparing to eat her last meal with her son and die. But in a remarkable act of faith, she trusted the prophet of the Lord and she shared the meal with Elijah. And through a God-inspired miracle, not only did she have enough food for that day, but she had more than enough food to last until rain poured on the earth. Isn't our God amazing? So here's the second challenge for us to consider this morning. That God may send provision and help from people and places that we least expect it. And he provides for us in ways that go beyond our narrow definitions or expectations. But like Elijah, are we willing to trust God's methods of provision, even with unusual methods? You know, one of the things I've learned about my pet cat, who we've affectionately called Kitty Cat. One of the things I've learned about Kitty Cat is that she understands very clearly that navigating her life on her own would be much more of a challenge without staying connected to those who can provide for her daily needs. And although Kitty Cat is totally unaware of how food is obtained, she has no idea that someone has to go to the shop and purchase the food for her. But yet still, every day, she can sleep like a baby, knowing that her daily needs will be met because she is connected to someone who can supply her daily needs. And church, if a cat can go to sleep and not fret and not stress and not be depressed over tomorrow, then how much so should the people of God, who has a God that is much more of a provider than I could ever be. But God, who is infinite in wisdom, in mercy, in grace, in riches, he is able to supply all of our needs. Hallelujah. But third and finally this morning, we see finally in chapter 17 the provision also, not just of prophecy and of word, not just of sustenance and daily needs, but we also see, finally, the provision of healing and restoration. Healing and restoration. Verses 17 to 24. Now, it's amazing that from verses 1 to 16, Elijah experienced God as Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord our provider. But from verses 17 to 24, the same woman who exercised such faith by sharing her meal, and now her son, this widowed woman, her son became severely poorly, and subsequently he died. Elijah, the widowed woman, and most importantly, the son, they would come now to learn of God, not just as Jehovah Jireh, our provider, but now they would learn that God is also known as Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord is our healer. It's amazing. Can you just imagine what this woman was going through? I've allowed this prophet into my home. I didn't have much to give, but I trusted him. I gave the last meal that I had to him, and Yes, I'm grateful for the fact that a miracle took place and I was able to have enough food. I promised that it won't run dry until rain would pour on the land. But now my son has fallen ill. And now he has died. And then she begins to ask the question, what have I done? Is it because of sin that now my son has been taken away from me? Is this punishment from God because of something that I may have done in my life? But no, lady, it wasn't because of sin why your son became sick and he died. But it was so that the Lord again could show himself strong and mighty in your situation. And prove once more that he is able to not only supply our daily needs, but he's also able to perform the miraculous. In church, in 2022, are we still looking for God to perform the miraculous? Now, I want to say this with caution, because we know that when it comes to healing, not in every circumstance when we pray does God choose to heal the one that we are praying for in the way that we would so desire. Because when someone is sick, who is struggling with an illness, we pray for them, and yes, we pray that God would heal them of their sickness. That is what we pray for. That is what we trust God for. But we have to also understand, friends, that God's way of healing may not necessarily always be in alignment with what we deem is the best version of healing. And that can be really challenging for us. Because when we pray for someone who is sick and they do not recover and they die, sometimes we can even doubt God. Well, did my prayer work? But I want to encourage you today that in the will of God, in the perfect plan of God, and yes, sometimes it can appear like a mystery, and in our human minds, sometimes it can be very hard for us to understand it. But the very fact, and I say this with all sense of caution, the very fact that God does not always heal the one that we're praying for, it does not change the position that God is a healer. He's still a healer. And we should be praying always that God, in his will, if he chooses to heal someone of their sickness, then let it be so, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I close with this. I was, over the Christmas, I was watching a faith-based film called The Shack. And I was blessed by this movie. And, you know, I not always fond of, you know, portrayals of God in fiction movies, because sometimes it can be, you know, a real push on biblical truth. But I was somewhat, you know, inspired by this movie, because it was about a father who had taken his children out on a holiday. In America, they would say a vacation. And his youngest daughter, unfortunately, was abducted. She was abducted by this man, and unfortunately she was killed. And the father was struggling throughout the movie to come to terms with the fact that his youngest daughter was brutally abducted and murdered. And then in the sequence of events in the movie, the same father was ushered into the heavenlies. And there he had an experience with the triune God. And various conversations that he had with God, as Father, which was portrayed as Mother in the film, and also as the Son, represented Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. In the various conversations that he had, he was struggling to come to terms. He was vacillating in his mind. Why, God, did you allow my loved one to die? Why, God, did you allow my daughter to succumb to such heinous evil? And he was really struggling and grappling with it. But at the end of the movie, it blessed me. The same dad was able, through a sequence of events and talks with God, he was able to come to the term that I need to forgive and let go of the pain that was caused by this man on my daughter. And he was able to forgive the man and release that feeling of such hate and wanting to get back and pay back. He was able to let it go. And he felt such a state of healing, even though he had lost his daughter. And friends, I believe that that is so important for us as Christians, because we will not always understand how God chooses to heal his people. Yes, even in death, we recognize that death also is a form of healing in the mystery of God. But even when we don't understand, like the widowed woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, will we trust the hand of God even when it don't make sense? I'm going to pray for us now as we draw this sermon to a close. I don't know who this is for. Maybe for the year ahead. Maybe some of you are concerned. You say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get over something I'm struggling with. Maybe it's coming to terms with someone in your family who's struggling with a sickness. And maybe yourself, you're just struggling. You think, Lord, how am I going to get through this year? I just about was able to get through last year with the little strength that I had, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this year. I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Fathers, we have embarked, landing into a new year by your grace and by your mercy. We recognize that just like in the days of Elijah, there is so much going on around us. We recognize that, yes, there is evil in our land, that, yes, there is sin, yes, there is darkness all around us. But we thank you that just like in the days of Elijah, you were speaking in that day, and you're still able to speak right now. So, Father, we pray that you would speak in our hearts this morning. Whatever your people here this morning are facing, those needs that are private, that maybe have not even left the lips of the individuals in this room. Maybe they have not even been uttered to anyone else. But I pray, Father, that just like Elijah, who you asked to withdraw to a quiet place, but Father, that you may speak to our hearts right now. Vision and clarity and peace for the journey ahead. And Father, I pray, Lord, for those areas in our lives that we may need healing in our lives, whether it be physical healing or whether it be spiritual. Lord, whatever the ailment may be, whatever the void may be, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. And Father, we just allow your will to be done. Whether you heal of the sickness or the problem right now, or whether you heal it, Lord, in the life that is to come in eternity. Whatever you choose, Lord, whatever you choose, we want to trust you and obey your voice. Even though we don't always understand your method of choice, oh Lord, I pray that you would give us that willing ear and obedient heart to trust you, even when we don't understand. So bless us now, we pray. And for 2022, may this be the year, regardless of what happens in our society, regardless of what happens in our nation and in our world, may this be the year that you speak clearly to your people. And when you speak, our answer will be yes, Lord. Yes. Speak to our hearts. Speak to this church. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your patience in listening to the Word of God.